Hey guys, Darren Bentley here. And before we get started, I wanted to make a special announcement. We have officially opened registration for the Private Money Conference, which is a 3-day live event where you will learn directly from Jay and his team how to raise thousands of dollars in private money to fund all of your real estate deals. Now, in today's changing market, more and more people are losing out to other investors because most of those investors have the cash to fund these deals. Did you know that you are missing out on 87% of the real estate deals out there because you don't have access to private money? Sadly, most real estate investors don't even know this is the reason why they continue to lose deal after deal. And with everything that's happening in the market today, you absolutely need every advantage available to you. And having access to unlimited amounts of private money is your big advantage. So to register for this live event, head over to jayconner.com/event. Again, that is jayconner.com, jayconner.com/event, where you will be able to lock in your seat for this live in-person 3-day event, which takes place June 12th, 13th, and the 14th in beautiful North Carolina. But you got to be fast because there are a limited number of seats, and when they are gone, they're gone. So again, to take advantage of this incredible event and to learn how to raise all the private money you'll ever need directly from Jay Conner and his team, head over to jayconner.com/event. Again, that is jayconner.com, jayconner.com/event. Now let's get into today's episode.
I feel like real estate is one of the best ways to go out and make a business for yourself. And it's a lot of fun. So just get out there, take the action, keep moving, and eventually you'll arrive where you're trying to get.
If you're a real estate investor and are wondering how to raise and leverage private money to make more profit on every deal, then you're in the right place. On Raising Private Money, we'll speak with new and seasoned investors to dissect their deals and extract the best tips and strategies to help you get the money. Because the money comes first. Now here's your host, Jay Conner.
Well, welcome to another episode. I'm so excited to have you join me. I'm Jay Conner, the Private Money Authority, and also your host of this show. And my lands, my friend, have I got an exciting show and guest for you today. If you're at all interested in learning about the secrets of investing in mobile home parks without using any of your own money, or investing in self-storage of facilities without using any of your own money, and how to like raise the value of these assets and sell them for millions more than you bought them, you're definitely going to want to stay all the way to the end of the show for this episode. In addition to that, my guest that you're going to meet here in just a moment is also an expert at raising private money. So you definitely want to stay all the way to the end. My guest is the founder of the great Northwest Home Buyers and Kaizen Properties, and he's the host of a very successful podcast that's called the Real Estate Investing Club. He started out at a Fortune 500 company, and he got bored with that working in a cubicle, and off he went to investing in self-storage and mobile home parks, and he's going to teach you all about it right now coming up in the next few seconds. So you're definitely going to want to check out his podcast, which is called the Real Estate Investing Club Podcast and YouTube show. And with that, I'm excited to bring on my guest, my friend, Gabe Peterson.
Jay, yeah, thanks very much for having me on. That was quite the introduction.
Well, it's easy to do a great introduction when I've got a great guest. So when did you start your podcast, the Real Estate Investing Club Podcast?
That was the... That came about from COVID, actually. Before COVID, I was doing a lot of networking with other real estate investors, and COVID hit and I couldn't go out and shake hands. And so I decided to start a podcast, next best thing. And I'm glad I did. I've absolutely loved it. I love talking with my guests. You were on my show. We had a good conversation. And so it's been a lot of fun.
That is awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, just about everything there is in real estate. I mean, you wholesaled, you done flips, but now you're really attracted to mobile home parks and self-storage. So, and you can talk about them in any order you want to, but why have you been attracted? What are the benefits? Why are you so excited about self-storage and as opposed to other real estate opportunities? And why are you so excited about mobile home parks?
I mean, what I really like just about real estate in general is there's so many different ways to go about it. There's so many different asset classes, different, you know, business models that you can attack. And so there's a lot of variety, a lot of, opportunity out there. Self-storage, I like that it was a business. You know, it's more of a customer seller relationship versus a tenant landlord. And so I like that. I like how the management works. It's a very easy management style that you can have with self-storage facilities. And so once I didn't start in commercial as a lot of people do. I started in flips. I started in wholesales and eventually worked my way up into commercial. And once I got there, I just kind of, you know, looked at the scene and looked around for what type of asset classes I wanted to dive into. And ultimately it was self-storage, mobile home parks. They're both recession resistant asset classes. And so they've performed well historically in recessions. And I like that. Self-storage is just a lot of fun. It's fun to manage and buy them. We're closing on one right now. Actually, tomorrow is the closing date. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good asset class to focus on.
So as far as your business model goes for both self-storage and mobile home parks, my question is, do you look for distressed properties that you can, you know, fix up and then flip them and sell them? Or do you look for distressed properties and you plan to hold them for the long term, or what's the business model look like?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Well, I guess all of them we want to have, there needs to be an upside. So we're not looking at, you know, class A facilities that buying at a 5 cap and just holding them for 30 years, no construction or maintenance required. Don't look at those. I like to look at things that need a little love. You know, if there's some wear and tear on the building, love that. If there's room for expansion, I love that. If maybe they haven't done the best at management and they've kind of let occupancy dip, love seeing that. So anywhere where I can add value is really what I like to see. Did I answer the full question there? I feel like that was a two-parter and I think I forgot.
Yeah. So in other words, so are you fixing them, you sell them, hold them? In other words, what types are you buying and what's your exit strategy?
Yeah. So, I said this already. I guess I forgot to finish out my answer. I'm doing both. And so there are a few of them that I'm going to do a long-term hold, and then others is a 5-year exit. We're buying, repositioning, and then selling on the upside.
So what's your criteria of what to hold and what to sell?
That one is really comes down to my own preference. If they're not giving me a lot of headache and there's good cash flow, then I want to hold it. If it's and also if there's other investors involved, if it's just me in the deal, if I put all the capital up and I got, you know, there's a deal that I did seller financing, great terms, I put all the capital into it, the management's going well. So that one I'm going to hold on to. Others, I have other investors involved, and you know, when other investors are involved, I need to take them into consideration, and so that the exit time frame is a little bit sooner than if I were to do long-term hold or just put my own money into it.
I got you. How do you find mobile home park deals?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the beauty of real estate is that every type of marketing strategy works similar across all asset classes. So mobile home's no different than self-storage, than multifamily. And so we look mostly off market. That's where I like to look. I don't really like to look on market. So we do mailers. We do ringless voicemail, text blasts, cold calling. I think that's it. I think that kind of covers it.
Well, that's interesting that, I mean, these asset classes, self-storage and mobile home parks, like you're not looking on LoopNet. You're looking for those properties that are not listed to be seller or not being promoted to be sold.
Yeah, I generally find that if I can talk with the seller, you know, one-on-one, then we can get terms that fit both parties better. When there's brokers involved, a lot of times the seller is not going to be amenable to like seller financing. I'm a huge, huge fan of seller financing.
Well, just like a house in the multiple listing service, you ain't going to get seller financing in the multiple listing service.
Yeah, exactly. And so I like that. In fact, four properties right now that I own are seller financed and great deals. It works on both ends. The seller gets more money and it's an easier close. We get terms. We can even give them more we can increase the price if they give us better terms. And so it's a win-win for both parties, in my opinion.
Are you your own negotiator? In other words, are you your own acquisitionist?
Yeah, I have some acquisitions guys that help me out, but I do the negotiating and the offers. But yeah, I got a team with me, and we're crushing it, and they're just as, you know, putting in just as much as effort as I am.
What does your team look like?
So for the, I guess we can split it between acquisitions and management. For the acquisition side, there's just three of us and then some VAs that help us out. And, you know, the two guys, they help with acquisitions and disposition. We do the outbound marketing. I'll, you know, set it up and work with the VA to get the outbound marketing done. And then the warm leads will come in and the acquisitions guys can pick them up if there's positive intent. And then, you know, once we close, then I work with my property management, third party property management companies to manage the facilities. And they hire boots on the ground and all that stuff to keep them managed.
Do you have like a specific math formula that you plug in the numbers and the math tells you as to whether a mobile home park is a good mobile home park deal and a self-storage facility is a good self-storage facility? In other words, what's your buying criteria? You know, you got some magical Excel spreadsheet that tells you to buy or pass, or what's that look like?
Yeah, I feel like if you're an investor, you got to have your special formula. I feel like every investor I talk to has their own little Excel sheet that has their secret sauce. But yeah, I just have I have an Excel sheet that we plug everything into and kind of gives me a breakdown of of what I can expect. And so it's super dependent. You know, I've bought really low cap rates, like 3 cap, knowing that I could push it up to a 10 cap when I flipped it. Yeah, it really depends. If the metro is good, if it's a small metro, I'm going to offer, you know, I want a higher cap rate than if it's a larger metro. If it's a growing metro, I want a shrinking metro, I almost will. It's a pass unless they give me a really good deal. So there's a lot of things that, you know, go into it, but there's a lot of things that go into it. There's no real hard and fast.
Lots of variables.
Yeah.
So, let's first start with mobile home parks. What were some of your early struggles and lessons learned in investing in mobile home parks?
Early struggles, lessons learned.
And it'll be the same question for self-storage as well.
Yeah. Self-storage is a little easier because there's not as many utilities. And that is the big issue with mobile home parks. A lot of them are older and they have old utilities. And like right now, we just had a line break, a sewer line in one of our parks that we need. And we're going to have to replace that entire line. That has been the biggest issue is the utilities there. And then getting good management in place. If you don't have good management in place for a park, then it is going to be a nightmare. You will not want to own that thing. So finding a good boots on the ground, good property manager to help you out is so important. For self-storage, big lesson learned. I guess whenever you see a deal, most self-storage facilities out there, if they're under like, I don't know, 25,000 square feet, a lot of them that I've found have been owner run. And so the owner does not have, you know, somebody on site to do management. They don't have third-party property management, anything like that. So when they send over their financials, they're not going to have those additional expenses that you're going to incur once you buy the property. And so, a lot of owners, they'll send over their financials and they're like, I want an 8 cap on my self-storage facility. I'm like, that's totally, totally reasonable. We can move forward with that. And then I look at it and I'm realizing he wants an 8 cap on his financials. Using my financials, that's actually a 5 cap or a 6 cap or whatever it is. So you really got to be wary of how they're doing their calculations. Do they have property management in place? If they don't, you got to make sure and bake that in because you're not going to be, if you're buying out of state, you're not going to be wanting to manage it. And well, anyways, either way, you're going to want to have a third party property manager. I would not recommend doing it yourself. So just make sure that that's in there.
There you go. I sure wouldn't be interested in managing my own as well. Is there any overall, all-encompassing, like, biggest lesson you've learned from your deals, so to speak?
That is a good question.
Given what you just said, I would expect one big lesson or one big piece of advice is for sure know your numbers before you make your offer.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big lesson learned. I think just the biggest one is just keep that things are always going to fall through. Even today, like this deal that I'm working on right now, something came up at the very, very, very last minute. Like we're supposed to sign the papers tomorrow. So a deal is never done until it is, you know, the pen has been inked. And so you just don't expect it until you close. And if it falls through, whatever, just keep moving forward. You're going to find something else.
So don't count your chickens before they hatch,
there
right?
There you go. Wise wisdom, whoever made that phrase.
Well, you may have a challenge thinking of an example of this, but what first comes to mind is to what was your favorite deal you've ever done and why?
Real quick, y'all, you guys already know that I don't run any ads on this and I don't sell anything. And so the only ask I can ever ask of you guys is that you help me spread the word so we can help more real estate investors make more money, feed their families, and have the private money they need to fund their deals. And the only way we can do that is if I ask you to rate and review and share this podcast. So the single thing that I ask you to do is you can just leave a review. It'll take you 10 seconds or one type of the thumb. It would mean the absolute world to me. And more importantly, it may change the world of someone else.
Favorite deal I have done. Let me think about that one. So I think my favorite deal is probably an early flip that I did just because I did it with a partner and we had a lot of, you know, we were friends and we had a lot of fun doing it. I love doing deals with other people that I, you know, that I vibe with.
So it was was it a joint venture?
Yeah. And we just had a lot of fun. And that was probably my favorite deal just because of the relationship. Outside of that, in terms of just like numbers and, you know, whether it was a good deal, is probably the mobile home park that we own out in Moses Lake. The seller gave us absurd terms. It was like 2.something% interest, 11-year amortization, and we didn't put very much down. I can't remember what we put, but it was such a good seller financing that we basically got it, and now we're running it, and it's running pretty well.
Sounds like that might have some nice positive cash flow.
Yeah, it does be well.
So let's talk about buying a property and repositioning it and like making it worth more money. And let's talk about both self-storage and mobile home parks. What can you do to those types of assets to increase the value to where if you wanted to exit it in 5 years, it would be worth so much more money than it is today?
That's another reason why I love this stuff is there's tons of ways to do it. The easiest one is always leasing up vacancy. So if you're buying a property that has 2 units occupied, and there's 100 units, if you lease up those 98 units, you're going to, you know, more than triple your value. So leasing up is an easy one, and that can be done. A lot of times I see that they just don't market it and they don't have any marketing strategy. And so, you know, 2 occupied is a extreme example, but you know, a lot of times they'll have 60% occupancy and they just don't market their property. And that's an easy fix, an easy value add to come in there and push the vacancy, push the occupancy up. Other ways is expansion, fixing properties to, so if your property is in bad condition and you're not able to get market rents because of that, maybe there's, I don't know, dirt roads, just a lot of garbage everywhere. It's just not an appealing property for somebody to come and live at. Then an easy way to do is just to fix up the property to the point where you can get market rent. And then also you can add ancillary income, mobile home parks, RV parks. You can add small laundry units. You can bill back for utilities, self-storage. You can do tenant protection. You can offer, you know, tenant protection insurance, and you can sell locks, stuff like that. So, you know, I think the easiest one, the one that I really look for is vacancy. So if I'm looking for a property, I really try to find something that's vacant in a good metro because of bad management. And that's my favorite thing to find.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Gabe, what would you say it is about your personality or your daily habits or business practices or whatever that just really lends to your success? You know, what have you got going on up here in between your ears that maybe some other folks don't, that drives your success?
I think I'm just extra. I just don't give up. And that's the key. That's the only thing you need to do is just keep pushing. And eventually you'll find success. I've had tons of failure stories. You know, real estate wasn't the first business I tried to run. I tried to do e-commerce digital marketing agency. And I had a little success there, but you know, nothing like I've seen in real estate. And so the key was just, I didn't give up. And if you don't give up, then yeah, you can't lose. So just keep pushing through and eventually you'll find success.
Well, you know, I experienced the same thing. I relied on local banks to fund my real estate deals when I started from 2003 to 2009. And then in February 2009, with no notice, I lost all my lines of credit, not because I didn't have a good credit score or not making payments, but I learned very quickly, not only myself, but like every other real estate investor in the nation, you know, lost their lines of credit. So through persistence and pushing forward, I learned all about private money. I'd never heard of private money or anything like that, you know, and so that's how I got into private money. Private money actually was without the challenge and the difficulty. And I'm sure you will agree that the biggest growth opportunity that comes along is when you're in the middle of a mess and you got to figure it out. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's when shit hits the fan that you really start to learn and grow and stretch for sure.
Yeah. Have you got a morning routine or any daily habits that you stick to?
I don't these days. I really should get back into it. But if I were to be completely honest, I do not have a solid morning routine that I follow. My routine is mostly I get up, I get coffee. I kind of just sit. If it's warm enough, I'll sit outside and just kind of drink my coffee until I feel the urge to go and start working. And then I start working. I used to get up and work out. I still work out every day, but I do it in the afternoon. But I used to get up and work out and meditate and read and all this stuff. And I just got out of habit. I got to get back into there.
I got you. Are you by chance an avid reader? You like to read?
I do. But recently I've been working too much. I haven't been able to pick up a book recently, but that's right. Used to read a lot. I'm a big fan of reading.
As of all the books you've read, which book have you given away the most or had the biggest impact on you personally?
Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. That is my favorite kind of just general life wisdom book. I mean, everybody's heard of that book by now, but for those who haven't, it's just one of the old Roman emperors. He carried a journal when he was on his military campaigns, and he just wrote down some smart stuff. And it's a pretty concise read, but it's really, really, really nice. That and Seneca, I can't remember the title of the book, but one of Seneca's books that I really like.
Okay, I got you. And so who is Meditations by?
Marcus Aurelius.
Okay, I've heard of the book, but I haven't read it myself.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Cool. What's your superpower, Gabe?
My superpower?
Not giving up?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but my superpower is just not giving up. It's just, when things go wrong, I just accept it and just move on. And I feel like the accepting it part is the hard thing because, when things go wrong, the inclination is to have an emotional reaction and then get stuck in those emotions. But I've kind of gotten good over the years of just getting to a point of acceptance and then thinking of a solution before I get carried away in those emotions.
Cool. So let's say someone wants to get started in self-storage, but they know nothing about it. They've got no experience, but it really sounds interesting. What's your best advice on how somebody would get started in self-storage?
The best way is to get a JV partner. Maybe you have money. If you have money, you can bring in as a silent partner. If you have anything else you can bring to a deal, just find somebody who has experience and then do a JV with them. Second best is just to learn online. You know, there's tons of YouTube channels out there. You know, my YouTube channel, the Real Estate Investing Club. I'm sure you have some additional self-storage guys that come on your podcast. We also have some resources on the website, the Real Estate Investing Club, that anybody who's interested in self-storage can jump on. But the best one is to do a deal with someone who has experience in self-storage.
How do you find somebody like that? Like look up Gabe Peterson or something?
Yeah. Send me an email, gabe@realestateinvestingclub.com. Or you can just go into any of the, there's tons of Facebook groups out there that have, you know, they're specifically focused on self-storage. Just ping that group, say, hey, I got X, whatever it is, and I can bring love to do a JV deal. Reach out when, if you're interested.
Would you say your answers are the same for someone that wants to get started in mobile home parks?
Yep, exactly the same. Do a JV or, you know, do online education.
Are there mobile home park investing Facebook groups?
Absolutely. There's a Facebook group for everything. That's my
opinion. I was going to say there's probably a Facebook group for everything. So, Gabe, of course, you know, I'm big into private money. Have you used private money in your self-storage businesses and in your mobile home park business?
Yep, I sure have. I've done I've used private money on flips. I'm closing a deal right now with private money. And so I'm a big fan of private money too.
Awesome. Well, Gabe, I'm going to turn it over to you right now to give parting comments and any other advice you would like to share.
Yeah. My suggestion for anybody out there who's thinking about real estate, you want to get into it. As I said, just find somebody who's there and kind of learn from them, and then just don't give up. If you believe in yourself and you really want to get in, you can. I feel like real estate is one of the best ways to go out and make a business for yourself. And it's a lot of fun. So just get out there, take the action, keep moving, and eventually you'll arrive where you're trying to get.
That's awesome. Gabe, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the show.
Yeah, Jay, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it. Another episode. This has been an exciting couple of topics, talking about mobile home parks and talking about self-storage. Gabe Peterson is very, very easy to find online. So be sure and reach out to him. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. And by the way, I just really, really appreciate the likes, the shares, the subscribes. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure and click that bell so you don't miss any of the upcoming amazing episodes and my amazing guest as well. And do me a favor. If you think of someone or you know someone in your circle that you think would really benefit from this show, be sure and share it with them as well. So thank you for joining. I'm Jay Connor. We'll see you right here on the next show.
Are you feeling inspired by the knowledge you gained in this episode? Then head over to jconner.com/moneyguide. That's jconner.com/moneyguide. And download your free guide that shares 7 reasons why private money will skyrocket your real estate investing business right now. Again, that's jconner.com/moneyguide to get your free guide. We'll see you next time on Raising Private Money with Jay Connor.